Lord, I ask that you would help us to take this back to our respective places, to our lighthouses, to our churches and our families. Lord, that you would be glorified and that Israel would be blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. So today we're talking about God's mandate for you and I concerning Israel. And so we started off the day with talking about prayer. I told you it was going to be something familiar with you. A GLOW, I like to look at a GLOW as an organization of prayer warriors. That's what I think of when I think of a GLOW. I have never gone to an GLOW gathering where prayer was not a central part of that meeting. And I think it's a great testimony that the same spirit of the GLOW that I've been a part of in two places in Arkansas is the same one that I sense in this place. And that's just a great testimony to the leadership of GLOW and the unity of GLOW. And so I even told our board, Rita is on our board, and I told our board, I think it was last week or the week before when we had our meeting, is I'm so glad we're going to GLOW because they're just so friendly to Israel. And you all are so close to prayer. And so I appreciate that. And so we talked about prayer, and not just praying for Israel, but for the salvation of Israel. And we're going to pray that way until we see the salvation of Israel. And so this afternoon, we're going to look at a more tangible mandate, right? Something that we can do beyond using our words. And so we're going to start with a familiar verse of Scripture in Genesis chapter 12. And so that's where your handout starts, Genesis 12 and verse 1. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you." And so what I want you to see there is God did not let him know where he was headed to. He was calling for a step of faith, okay? In verse 2, "I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." Now, this was approximately 4,000 years ago when God spoke this to Abram. It was about that long ago when he walked the earth. And so we know that his name was later changed to Abraham. So that's what I'm going to call him in our teaching. So we know that God blessed Abraham and his descendants. And we know that God blessed his descendants because of the phrase, "I will make you into a great nation," right? So the nation that God made him into is the seed of Abraham. And we can see that those who bless his descendants are blessed, and those who curse his descendants are cursed. So we should keep in mind that Abraham's descendants of promise, your first blank is promise, were given through his son Isaac and then through Jacob, who was renamed Israel. Now, I make this point just because there are people who believe that the descendants through Ishmael have the same blessing, and the Bible makes it clear that that's not true. Now, it's not that the people of Ishmael are unimportant or not favored by God, don't have God's blessing. They don't have that any less than we would, right? But the blessing God said, "I'm giving to you and your descendants." And I have several scripture verses there that I did not paste in your outline because I want us to get to where we're going. But Genesis 17, chapter 26, 27, 28, and 32. If you will follow those verses, make very clear the progression of the blessing from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, and then to the 12 sons of Jacob, and God renamed Jacob Israel. So, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let me keep on here. So, we know without a doubt that God has blessed all the nations of the earth through Abraham, or through Israel. That happened when God sent Jesus as the promised Messiah to restore Israel and the world. That's your next blank. He restored Israel and the world back to himself. When God did that, he did that through Abraham. He did that through Abraham. Now, the Apostle Paul was the apostle who was given a commission or a mandate to take the gospel to the Gentiles or to the world. So the other apostles were for the most part staying in Jerusalem and in the area of modern day Israel, and they were taking the gospel to the Jews. And Paul had a specific assignment given to him to take it to the world. But even though he was commissioned to the Gentiles, he still had a specific act of service for the Jews or for Israel. He had a specific act of service for the Jews or for Israel. And this is where I get excited, because what I'm getting ready to go into is probably what God has revealed to me that has shaken my world more than anything else, other than being saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit. This is what we're getting ready to talk to is a calling that I walk in. And I hope that some of you would be called to partake in this. And so in Galatians chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the Bible says, "And when James and Cephas," who is Cephas? That's Peter. Okay, so when James and Peter and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given to me, they gave the right hand of fellowship to Barnabas and me, that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. The circumcised are the Jews. Only they asked us to remember the poor, the very thing I was eager to do. So James, Peter, and John released Paul to work with the Gentiles. Only they asked them to remember the poor. This word "only" indicates a distinction. So James, Peter, and John were referring to the poor saints or believers of Israel. And we can know that for sure when we examine other verses of Scripture. Now, do you catch that? They're saying yes. Like, we see the grace that's on you. Go and minister to the Gentiles. Take the gospel to the Gentiles. And we know Peter really had to feel this way because he had the dream of the big sheep with the unclean animals. And God says, "Arise and eat." And he's like, "No, Lord, I can't." And God's like, "Hey, don't call unclean what I've cleansed," right? And so we know Peter, he's really going to be all aboard with taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And they're like, "Do that, only don't forget the poor." Right? So this "only," he's not talking about the poor of the world. Not that Paul should neglect them, but there's a special apostolic calling given to the Apostle Paul from these three head leaders, these three head apostles. He calls them pillars. They were the pillars of the church. And they say, "Hey, don't forget the poor." And we're going to look in context in the rest of Scripture at who the poor are. So, did I give you your next blank, saints? Did I give you that one? Paul gave instructions to the churches of Galatia and Corinth to set aside a weekly offering specifically for the saints in Israel. Paul gave instructions to the churches of Galatia. Does that sound familiar? Okay, so that's the book of Galatians was written to the church at Galatia. And Corinth, the first and second books of Corinthians were written to the churches in Corinth, to set aside a weekly offering specifically for the saints in Israel. All right, on our next page, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so you also are to do." Now we know "you" is the church at Corinth, because this is the book of Corinthians. "On the first day of every week, each of you is to put something aside and store it up as he may prosper." How many of them were supposed to do this? All of them. It says each of you. Okay, so "there will be no collecting when I come. And when I arrive, I will send those whom you accredit by letter to carry your gift to" where? To Jerusalem. To take it to the saints who were in Jerusalem. So the Apostle Paul collected financial gifts from the Gentile churches or from the world for the saints in Jerusalem or for the believers in Israel, the natural and spiritual descendants of Abraham. Gathering financial gifts for the saints in Israel was a very significant, your blank is significant, part of the Apostle Paul's ministry. Even though he was the apostle to the Gentiles, he took seriously blessing the saints in Israel. Now, sort of a side note, this was such a big and important part of his ministry that later in his life, when he was a prisoner, he mentions to Governor Felix that this is part of what he was doing. Now, when you're in prison and you're making your case to the governor and you're seeking to be free, this is an interesting thing to mention. And so I think this shows the weight of this call on his life. And so Acts 24:17, it says, "Now after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings." And we're going to even look at more scripture that shows us in context. This was given to the believers who were in Israel. So I just think it's so awesome that he would mention that to Governor Felix. The Apostle Paul sheds more light on giving to the saints when he writes the church in Rome. So far we've read from Galatians, 1 Corinthians, Acts, now we're in Romans. And we still see the same ministry woven throughout Scripture. Romans chapter 15, verses 25 through 27. These scriptures are what our ministry, Lifting Up Zion, are based on. He says, "At present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to" who? "The saints. For Macedonia and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution for the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings." Now, there's a lot packed in those verses, but I want to point out two key points that we've got to realize from this. First, many Gentile churches, your blank is many, many Gentile churches were commissioned by Paul to partake in this grace of giving. Macedonia and Achaia are two regions that most likely included the churches of Philippi, Galatia, Thessalonica, Berea, Corinth, and possibly others. So many churches were called upon by Paul to participate in this giving. Second, Paul says that the Gentile Christians owe it. They owe it to the Jewish believers to contribute the offering. Pretty strong. Paul says, "And they owe it to them." This is the same Paul that says, "Owe no man anything but to love them," right? Like, owe it to the Jewish believers to contribute the offering. He says that the Gentiles have shared in the Jewish believers' spiritual blessings, so we ought to be of service to them in material blessings. Or another word for material there could be financial blessings. And so the scripture says we've received spiritual blessings. What are the spiritual things that we have received? Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 5, starts on page number 8. It's a powerful verse of scripture. We looked at part of it in our first lesson this morning, but we're going to read through verse 5 to see where Paul takes us. "I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race according to the flesh is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen." So I want you to just take a minute, you don't have to limit yourself to what you read here, but use that space on your worksheet to write down the spiritual blessings that we have received from God through Israel. All right, so just a few things that I see from here. The adoption. Thank God for the adoption. We've been adopted into the family of God. Now, I'm not saying Israel did that. No, Israel didn't do it. God did it, but he used Israel. He used Israel to do it. The glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises. Oh, we love the promises, don't we? The patriarchs, and the Christ, or the Messiah. From their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all. Hallelujah. And you can probably think of more. that we have received from God through the hands of the Jewish people. And so what Paul is saying here, if we have received all these spiritual things from God through their hands, the Apostle Paul says it is our duty. It is our duty to minister to them with material or financial things. Now, I like to look at it this way. God blessed us through them. Now God gets to bless them through us. I just love that. God blessed us through them. Now God gets to bless them through us. So whenever your money goes to a messianic congregation in Jerusalem or in Tel Aviv or in Ashdod or in Nazareth or in the Galilee or any of the places where Jesus walked, when Jewish people who are worshiping around the name of Jesus and they're doing that because our finances are helping them to pay the bills and to feed the poor and to reach the lost, God is blessing them through us. And so we get to be a part of like this divine exchange. And it's such a blessing. It is such a blessing to be able to do that. And if you might be thinking, well, I already give to so much. Can I tell you something? Our pastors have been cheating. All the scriptures that they use from the New Testament that are telling us to give in the offerings, in context, they're about giving to the saints in Israel. If you go back and read that verse, God loves a cheerful giver. Paul is talking about people who are giving to the saints in Israel. I believe that there is something special about giving to the saints who are in Israel. There's something special about it. Paul calls it our duty. He says that we owe it to them. And I'm getting ahead of myself, but in one place he calls this type of giving a grace. This one type of giving, giving to them, is a grace. We want the grace of God. We get to participate in a grace. How awesome is that? God gets to bless them through us. He gives seed to the sower. If you will resolve, God, I'm going to bless the Jewish believers. He will get seed into your hand. He will make a way to sow that seed. I believe it. I do. And let me stop because I'm going to get there. Okay. I'm excited, y'all. I'm so excited. So it is our duty, but when we look at it that way, it's also our privilege. I have the privilege of blessing them. There's nothing that Leah and I give to that brings me more joy than to bless the saints who are in Israel. There's just nothing else that brings me more joy. It could be some really awesome, compelling things, like good things like orphanages and giving Bibles to Bible college students in Africa who don't have Bibles. Or it could be great things, but nothing brings me more joy than this. Because God gets to return that blessing on them, and He gets to use me to do it. That is awesome. Woo! Okay. Now, moving on, some believers were so compelled to participate in this grace. That's your next blank. They were so compelled to participate in this grace of giving that they gave out of their own poverty to bless the saints in Israel. They gave out of their own poverty. They not only gave, but they begged earnestly for the favor to give. I'm going to say that again because I know there's a lot of blanks. But they begged earnestly for the favor to give. Can you imagine a church calling an organization saying, look, I know we're poor. I know we don't have a lot of money, but please, please, please let us give. That's what was going on. A church, they were poor. They didn't even have enough to make it themselves, but they were begging the Apostle Paul, can we please give? Let's look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Again, he's writing the Corinthians, and he says, we want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed into a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means, of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. They were begging for the chance to do this. One church in particular that was doing this was the Philippian church. Their nation had gone through gone through tragedy and they were poor, but they said, please let us give. They understood something about this that we don't get. It's not about giving to get, right? It's not about giving so that God will give me money back. I think a lot of Christian TV has our minds messed up about that, right? It's not about giving to get. It's about giving to be a blessing, right? It's about giving to be a blessing. They wanted to be a blessing. Wow. God, that I would have that heart. There are a lot of efforts that bless Israel, and many of them use these same verses to make the case for blessing Israel. We need to be mindful to take care of the saints, the believers of Israel, in our blessing Israel. We need to be mindful to do that. So when we look at these verses, we should keep them in their proper context. And in every case, the scripture is clearly referring to blessing the saints of Israel. And in many areas, it specifically refers to blessing the poor saints in Israel. And so I know that many of you, you may already bless Israel and praise God for that. What I'm not saying is you shouldn't do that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is we should most definitely make sure that we're obeying the mandate that scripture lines out. And so our next line here, I believe this is the last one on your sheets. That does not mean we neglect to bless those Jewish people who aren't born again. I'm not suggesting that, but we should not substitute the command or mandate to bless the saints of Israel for something else. We should not substitute that for something else. We don't get to say, well, God, I was given to this project in Israel and that's good. But that should not replace giving to the saints, the believers of Israel. They're our brothers and sister in Christ. We're the same body. And they don't get a lot of press time. They don't. So I want to tell you a couple of stories. I want to finish the one I started earlier. I told you that I went to Israel for the first time in 2011, and it was around the time of my dad's birthday. And so I wanted to get him a special souvenir, not just because his birthday was close, but because my dad is a deep lover of Israel and really imparted that to me as a young girl. And so so I wanted to know what he wanted, and he said nothing, and I was shocked. He wanted me to have the CD and find a Messianic Jew to give it to him. So we're on this two-week trip, and every day I'm praying, Lord, give me a divine appointment with a Messianic Jew, because I didn't want to let my dad down. I wanted to give that to somebody. And so I'm praying every day, I don't meet one, don't meet one, don't meet one. The last day, somebody say the last day. Last day of the trip. Have y'all heard of Eddie James? Yeah. I saw him in Israel. And so he was in my hotel lobby. So I'm walking in the lobby, and I see Eddie James. He had just landed in Israel. He was jet-lagged. He was tired. And I'm in college, and I'm young, and I'm excited, and I don't care. And so I'm just like, oh, my gosh, Eddie James! And so I'm probably talking, you know, an octave way up there because I'm so excited. And he's got his group there that sing and dance with him and stuff. And so this guy comes to, like, save Eddie James from me. And so I turn around, and this man, he's about this tall, and he shook my hand, and he said, hi, my name is Avi Mizrahi. I'm the rabbi of a local Messianic Jewish congregation in Haifa. And so God just didn't take me to a Messianic Jew, but to the pastor of Messianic Jews. And so I got to take a taxi the next morning to Shabbat service at their church before we flew out. I will never forget this. It was so exciting. The women worshiped with these bright, colorful scarves, and they danced, and everything was in Hebrew, and I had headphones to hear it translated into English. It was so cool. And when I was there, this group, they were raising money to put in a coffee shop in downtown Tel Aviv for the purpose of sharing the gospel with everybody that would come in and buy a cup of coffee. And I thought it was a pretty awesome project. And so I kind of left Israel. That was sort of my last memory of the trip, and left and came home. And in that time when I was feeling really homesick and wanting to go back, this has never happened to me in my life before or after this moment. But the Lord woke me up in the middle of the night, and he told me, I have called you to lift up Zion. And that church came back to my mind. And I just began to be compelled that the believers needed to help them with projects like that coffee shop. And I didn't know what that looked like. Now, all this that I just taught you, I didn't know any of that. I didn't know it was in Scripture. I'd been through Bible college and had never been told that Gentiles were supposed to bless Messianic Jews. I didn't know that. Well, fast forward a couple of years. We're in a week of prayer and fasting. And I go... I worked at the same church as Rita. We worked at the same church. And so our pastor called us to a week of prayer and fasting. So on my lunch break, I went to go sit down. And I don't know where this came from. It must have been the Lord because I couldn't think of it. And I sat down and said, Lord, show me myself in the Scriptures. So I flip over and the Bible opens to Romans chapter 15, where we read it a few minutes ago, where it says, those of Macedonia and Achaia. My name is Achaia. It's spelled different, but it's pronounced the same. And how they took this money from these Gentile churches to Israel. And I thought, God, that's lifting up Zion. I didn't even know it. So this ministry, it wasn't even a thing yet. The Lord just, because sometimes I learn slow. He slowly took me through and showed me this is not some crazy good idea that I came up with. Not at all. This was God's idea. And I like to say it this way, lifting up Zion is not a new ministry, even though we just incorporated a couple of years ago. It's a very old ministry. It's about 2,000 years old, and Apostle Paul was the first one to run it. And I just think that's really neat. And so I just want to tell you about that coffee shop. So we incorporated our ministry November of 2014. We are not yet 501c3 approved. We just started that process this week. We're really excited to kind of overcome that hurdle. But our pastor and our church have been very supportive. And so we have been able to help them buy a building. And they have a running coffee shop in that building that just opened up during Hanukkah in December. And so every day that place is open except Sabbath. And they are selling coffee to people. And they are sharing the gospel with people that just come in, they think all they're getting is coffee. And isn't that just so awesome? And so it's just awesome. And so that's something that we love. We've also been able to help the same congregation. They have partnered with other Messianic congregations in Israel. And in February, we were able to pay for 25 women to attend a conference in Magdala, Israel, where they are encouraged. And it's so important to do that because, y'all, the Messianic Jews in Israel live under a lot of persecution. They live under a lot of persecution. Because if you think about it, Jewish people that don't believe in Jesus yet, it's kind of a slap in the face to them that Jewish people would have the same beliefs as Christians when Christians have done so many cruel things. And so a lot of these Messianic Jews, they live under a lot of persecution. So they were able, we paid all expenses for 25 women to leave their home, to go to this conference, to be encouraged and built up. And there were about 250 women there altogether. And so we're just so thankful to be a part of that. And we don't just support this one congregation. There are three that we support monthly, and then there are a couple of others that we've helped with big projects. There's one in a city called Ashdod. And Ashdod was a Philistine city, if you know your Bible. And so there is a pastor there named Israel Pakhtar, and he is on fire. And so they had a big young adults conference where we sent 50 young adults to go for a weekend during the Feast of Purim, which is when they read the book of Esther, and every time they say the name of Haman, they all boo. And so, like, let's try it. Haman. And so the kids are dressed up in costumes, and they eat sweets, and it's just a lot of fun. And so during this festival, there was a young adults conference. And it's just awesome because in many times, these young adults are in the military or in college or they work, and they're the only one in their sphere of influence that believes in Jesus. And so we're just glad to be able to pour into their lives. And also, we've been able to bless a place called the Ebenezer Home, which is a senior citizens facility in Tel Aviv. And this is a place where Christians and Messianic Jews who cannot live on their own can just be, and they don't have to live through the persecution that they would have to be under if they were in just another regular nursing home. And so we've just been blessed to be able to have this ministry. It's just such a blessing. And so if the Lord would lead you to partner with us, and as we partner with them, we don't take any salary or any money from this ministry. Like I said, we're not yet 501c3 approved. So we know for some people that that's important. And so we're working on that. So donations are not tax deductible yet. But we thank God for the privilege and the honor to serve the Messianic Jews. And like I said, we don't glorify them or worship them. Our inheritance in Christ is the same as theirs, but we were grafted in to the family with them. And so we just thank God for that. And do you have some soft music back there that you could play for us? Yeah? So this afternoon, before my time is up, I just want to open the front of this room for anyone who feels called to bless Israel in this way and to pray with you. And this is something that God has, and Lee and I will pray with you. This is something that God has just burned on my heart, and it's there to stay, and I love it. And I believe that, in my prayer is that there may be some of you that God has touched in the same way, that maybe like me, you hear this today and you're like, what? That was in there? That was in there in so many places and I never saw it? Because that's how I felt. And there may be others of you that you've known it and you've seen it and you're many steps ahead of me. I don't know. But would you stand with me? And if you feel so inclined to come forward, we would love to pray with you.